Perek Dalad Mishnah Aleph until Perek Hey Mishnah Beis. We're finishing off the discussion about a Na'ar and different ways in which a salesperson can be dishonest or charge the wrong prices and the halachic ramifications of that. So the Mishnah tells us, Eim Orim Peyers Beferis. It's forbidden to mix produce from one field with produce of another field. And it's talking about a case where you're selling someone produce of a certain field. You have to only give him the produce of that field. You can't mix in with that produce from other fields because that was your agreement to sell him from that field. Even if they're both new fields, they're both very similar produces, you still can't do that because that wasn't the agreement. And it's needless to say, meaning it's obvious that you cannot mix new produce with old produce, because if you're selling him old produce, that's better quality because it's drier, it produces more flour, more bread ultimately. And therefore, if you mix in new produce, that's not only giving him what he doesn't want, but it's giving him things which are worse than what he wanted. And therefore, it's forbidden. But MS, in truth, this means it's a very clear, undisputable halacha are coming up now. But MS, in truth, by Yayin, when it comes to wine, Hetiru, the Chacham allowed L'Oyer Kosher Barach to mix strong wine with weak wine. If you're selling him weak wine, you're allowed to mix a little bit of strong wine in there, because he actually improves the quality of the wine by adding the stronger wine in there. The truth is, the Gemara explains, this is only allowed if it's during the process of making the wine. But once the strong wine has been fully processed and the weaker wine has also been fully processed, then to add one to the other will actually reduce its quality, because now they have totally different tastes. And therefore, even to add stronger wine to less strong wine is only allowed during the process of the wine. But after that, it will also be forbidden. If someone is selling wine, then Ein Ma'arvin Shimer Yayin B'Yayin. You can't mix in with the wine sediment or the harder parts of the wine which are left over at the bottom. So you're not allowed to mix sediment from a different wine into this wine, because you're selling him wine, not sediment of wine. However, you can give him as part of the wine that wine sediment, because you're selling him, let's say, a bottle of wine. So that comes with sediment, so of course you can give that with the wine. And in fact, even if you say that you're selling him a certain amount of wine, you can count the sediment of that wine as part of the measurement, because it's part of that wine. But the halacha is, like the Mishnah told us, you can't mix sediment from a different wine into this wine. Mishnah's Oramayim B'yeinu, someone whose wine was mixed with a bit of water. It's now less strong, it's worse quality, and therefore, Le'yum Krenu B'chanus, you can't sell it in the marketplace, in the shop, at the normal price of wine, elam kein hidiyo, unless you let the customer know that you added wine. You have to tell him, otherwise it's deceiving him. And again, that is dishonest. Below la tagar, and you can't sell this wine which is mixed with water to a merchant afal pisha hidiyo. Even if you tell the merchant that it's got water mixed in, you still can't sell it to him, because the merchant will only use this to trick other people, because the merchant might sell it on without telling the customers that it's got water mixed in. So it would come out that you're actually causing him to be dishonest, or you're causing a dishonest business act, and therefore it's forbidden. However, a place where the custom is to add water to wine anyway, generally, a bit like us nowadays, we have much less strong wine than they used to have. So if the minhag is anyway to add, let's say, a third water or a quarter of the mixture to be water, then you can do it even without letting the customer know. Yatilu, you can add it, and that is not considered dishonest. Mishnah base. All that we've said in the previous Mishnah is only forbidden if you're deceiving the customers. But hatagor, a merchant who is someone who buys from lots of different people and then sells them on. So he is allowed to notam chomish geronis. He can take from five different threshing floors, venosin zuchum gorachas, and he can put all of that in one storehouse or in one container, and then you can sell that even though it's a mixture of lots of different places and lots of different types of wheat or grain. People realize that because they know this guy's a merchant. They know he buys from lots of different people, and therefore they're not being deceived. They know, and therefore it's okay. Similarly, mechomish gittos, you can take from five different vats, five different containers of wine, and put it into one barrel and then sell it on. However, this is only allowed even for the merchant as long as he is not intending to mix bad quality and good quality wine together, or bad quality and good quality grain together. Because if he's intending to do that, then he is still deceiving them, which will be forbidden even for the merchant. Next business halacha, Rabbi Huda says, a shopkeeper isn't allowed to distribute parched grain or nuts. These are considered treats, latinoikos, for the kids. Interesting how the treats have changed. But you can't basically give treats to kids, because you're doing that in order so that they are regulars at your store. You're in a way bribing the kids to come to you, and the parents send them on errands, they're going to come to your shop so they get treats. That's forbidden because you're now preventing other shopkeepers from doing well and from getting customers. However, Chachom Matir and the Chachom allow it, because he's not stopping the other shopkeepers giving the kids treats. It's just a business idea, and the halacha is actually like the Chachomim, that you can do this for the sake of business, since you're not stopping the other shopkeepers from doing the same. Now I have a very interesting machlekes. According to the Tanakhama, it's forbidden for a shopkeeper to lower the general prices of things. that he sells. Because again, this will make everyone come to his shop, and it will reduce the income of the other shopkeepers. The Chachamim say no. Zoch la'tov, in fact, is actually should be mentioned and remembered for the good, because by him lowering the prices, that will make all the other shopkeepers lower the prices. So people will be able to buy things for cheaper prices, and therefore, it's actually a good thing to do, and certainly not forbidden. Next, v'le'yovar es hagrisim. It's forbidden for the shopkeeper to sift the crushed beans. Let's say he has a mixture of beans, and some of them have been crushed, so they're not very good quality, and they also make the whole mixture look not very good. So he picks out the bad ones, so now the mixture looks much nicer, and because it looks much nicer, he can now sell it for more, and even though he's entitled to now raise the price, because the mixture is better quality, it looks better than it actually is now, and therefore he's going to raise the price more than he actually is deserving of raising the price, and therefore it's forbidden, that's according to Abba Shaul, but Chachom Matirin. But Chachom allow it, because the customer can easily just work out how much the crushed beans which have been removed, how much they were worth, so he'll know how much the shopkeeper should have added for the work that he did to sift them, and therefore he'll know what the price should be. So even if he ends up buying it for more than that, he wasn't deceived, because he knew what the price was, and therefore it's okay, according to the Chachomim. Umoidim, but the Chachomim agree, that it's forbidden to sift the bad quality beans at the top of the container in which the merchant would sell them. Because then he leaves all the crushed ones at the bottom, he takes off the top layer bad ones, so it looks like the whole mixture is very good, and even if the customer might realize that he only did the top layer, the customer doesn't automatically think of looking below that, and therefore it's deceiving the customer, so it's forbidden, she'eni alu kagun mesa'ayin. It's only like deceiving the eye, or literally stealing the eye, because it's tricking and deceiving the customer. Finally, says the Mishnah, Ima Farksin, one is not allowed to improve the appearance of something which he is selling. Not Odom, not a person, not an animal, not vessels or utensils. For example, if these things are old, but he makes them look new, that's deceiving the customer, and therefore it is forbidden. Perek Hei. Ezo Neshach, this is known as one of the more difficult prokim in Shas, and in a way it continues the discussion from the previous perek about how one can cause others trouble in money matters and business, and specifically this perek discusses the avera of charging interest. This is known in Hebrew as ribis. It's forbidden in the Torah to both charge with interest and to even borrow money and pay back interest. So it's an avera for the lender and an avera for the borrower. However, all this only applies from one Jew to another, but one is allowed to lend a non-Jew with interest. Now the Torah doesn't actually use the word ribis to describe this avera. The Torah uses two words. Number one is neshech. Number two is tarbis. It says, Al tikach me'itzo neshech v'tarbis. You can't take from someone. And the pasuk also says you can't give. Neshech or tarbis. And the Gemara explains, actually, neshech and tarbis are exactly the same thing. It just has two different terms, because one refers to the borrower and one refers to the lender. And thus, there are two different averus involved in every loan which includes interest. Now, that's the way the Torah uses the words neshech and tarbis. However, it's very important now. When the Mishnah uses the terms neshech and tarbis, they mean different things totally. When the Mishnah says neshech, it refers to the ribis mid'oraisa, the interest which is forbidden from the Torah. On the other hand, when the Mishnah uses the term tarbis, it refers to interest which is only forbidden mid'rabbanon. And the pair will discuss details, but for now we need to find out ezo neshech v'ezo tarbis. What is considered neshech, which we're explaining in the Mishnah's use of the term neshech, which means what is considered ribis mid'oraisa? It's forbidden according to the Torah. V'ezo tarbis, what is considered ribis, what is considered interest, which is only forbidden mid'rabbanon? Firstly, ezo neshech, what's considered neshech, which is forbidden from the Torah. For example, hamal ve'sela, someone who lends someone a sela, which is worth 4 dinarim, b'chamisha dinarim, on condition that he return 5 dinarim. That's a standard case of charging interest, where I lend you something, and I say, pay me back a little bit more. That is forbidden from the Torah. Or, sosam chitin, I lend someone 2 se'or of wheat, b'sholosh, on condition that he returns me 3 se'or. In both these cases, at the time of the loan, the lender made the condition, before he gave the money, or before he gave the produce, that he has to give back the loan with interest. That is forbidden from the Torah, because the interest was a condition of the loan. And why is it called neshech? Because it bites. Neshech comes from the word neshech, which means to bite. And just like a bite from a snake, for example, right after it happens, it seems quite small, but then it swells and swells, and becomes much bigger. So too with interest, if you don't pay the interest back, then it gets larger, and the borrower will end up having to pay much more than he actually borrowed, and in that way, it's like a bite. Continues the Mishnah, v'ezo tarbis, what is considered tarbis, which we're explaining in the Mishnah's use of the term, to mean what is considered ribis, which is only forbidden midrabbanon. Hamar b'befer is someone who increases his wealth with produce. It doesn't just apply to produce, it applies to money as well. But it basically means someone who does business, which includes interest. What's an example? Ketzad, how so? Listen carefully. This example has two different parts. The first part of this example is not considered interest, but the second part will be. So what's the case? Let's say Reuven buys wheat from Shimon, and he pays a dinar zohov for every kur of wheat. A golden dinar is 25 silver dinar, and a kur is 30 sa'ar. And that is what the wheat costs in the marketplace at the moment. So again, what's the case? Reuven is buying, let's take a simple case, but he's buying exactly a kur. So Reuven is buying 30 sa'ar of wheat from Shimon, and he's paying 25 dinar for that. Now we're talking about a case even when Shimon does not actually have any wheat at the moment. So Reuven gives him the money, and he says, I want you to supply me with wheat for the next year, and I'm paying you 25 dinar for every kur that you give me. And at the moment, that's how much wheat costs. So in a way, this does seem a bit like a loan, because Shimon doesn't have any wheat at the moment, yet Reuven is giving him money on condition that he give him wheat later on. So when he does give him wheat, it's a bit like paying back the loan. Okay, but before he actually gives him back the wheat, the price of wheat goes up, and now instead of costing 25 dinar for a kur, it now costs 30 dinar for a kur. Again, a kur is a measurement of wheat. So the price of wheat has gone up. So if Shimon now gives wheat to Reuven, it's like giving back Reuven 30 dinar instead of 25 dinar. Oh my lord, Reuven says to Shimon, Teni chita, give me my wheat, which you said you'd give me. Shani rate to the mochon, because I want to sell them, because now they're worth a lot. And then I'll buy wine with them. I'll get lots of wine because now the wheat is very expensive. He wants to do a business deal. But like we said, this seems to be a bit like interest. Again, let's just explain the case once more. Reuven gave Shimon money on condition that Shimon will later on give Reuven wheat. But later, the wheat is now costs more than it did when Reuven gave him the money. Which means that if Reuven gives him back the same wheat that he stipulated that he would, it's not like he's giving back 25 dinar. It's like he's giving back 30 dinar. So he's giving back more than he received, in a way. However, listen very carefully, this is not considered interest. This is totally allowed. Why is that? The answer is because it's not a loan. Because as soon as Reuven gave Shimon the money, Reuven has now acquired the wheat. So the wheat was always his. It's not like Shimon is paying him back wheat. The wheat is considered Reuven's even before he's received it, and therefore it's not considered interest even midrabbanan. Now you'll ask me, we learnt earlier on in the Masechta that just by paying for something that doesn't acquire it for you, we said you've actually got to take it or move it or lift it up. Paying money does not acquire things. So why over here are we saying that he has acquired the wheat as soon as he just gives the money? The answer is that we're discussing midrabbanan interest over here. Remember, tarbis refers to midrabbanan interest. So since this is anyway only forbidden midrabbanan, we look at it as if you have acquired it on a midrabbanan level, just by giving the money. So this is a rabbinic leniency to say that we look at it as if you acquire the wheat just by giving the money, and therefore it's not considered osser, it's not interest. However, now we come to the osser part of this example, the part which is ribbis. Oh my life, Shimon then says back to Reuven, remember Reuven asked Shimon for the wheat so that he can now sell it on. So Shimon says back to him, I don't want to give you the wheat now. So let's make a deal. Your wheat should be upon me as being worth 30 dinar, meaning I now owe you wheat which is worth 30 dinar, because that's how much it's worth now. You want to take that and buy wine with it. So you know what? You have that claim against me with wine, meaning I owe you 30 dinar worth of wine. I don't want to give it to you. I don't want to give you the wheat now so that you can go and buy the wine, but I don't want you to lose out. So you know what? I will give you the wine, the same amount of wine that you want to buy. I will give that to you. So the truth is, even this is allowed, because if Shimon has wine at the moment, by promising it to Reuven, Reuven acquires it. Like we explained in the beginning of the Mishnah, the beginning of this example, just by giving money, and in this case it's by transferring the wheat onto the wine. So remember, Reuven owned the wheat. As soon as he paid for the wheat, Reuven owned it. So now what they're doing is basically transferring that ownership of the wheat onto the wine. So Reuven is acquiring the wine, and as soon as Reuven acquires something, there can be no interest later on. Because even if the price of wine goes up later on, which would mean that Shimon is giving Reuven back more than he paid for, because it's now worth more, that's not considered ribbis if Reuven owned it from the beginning, and therefore it's mutter. However, in this case, v'yayin ein loy, Shimon does not actually have wine at the moment, which means that Reuven's ownership of the wheat cannot be transferred onto the wine. So Reuven does not own the wine from now. Rather, it's like a new loan to Shimon. It's like you're lending 30 dinar worth to Shimon as a new loan, and you're not acquiring anything, which means that if the price of wine does go up later on, and Shimon then pays back the wine, he'll be paying back wine which is worth more than it was at the time of the loan, which would mean that he is paying back the loan with interest, and therefore that is considered forbidden midrabbanan as tarbis. So again, the main point of this mission, and this will really take us through the next few Mishnayos, this principle: if the acquiring took place from the start, that means it's not a loan. And if it's not a loan, then there's no worry about the price going up later on. So even if he does end up paying back a bit more because the product is worth more, that's not considered interest since he owned it from the start. It's not even considered a loan at all. And therefore, it's not even tarbis midrabbanan. Mishnah Beis, there are certain things which come under the category of ribbis midrabbanan because it looks like interest. For example, someone who lends his friend money. For example, he lends him anything. Lo yodor b'chatzer chinam, he cannot live in the courtyard of the borrower for free. That's basically like the borrower doing a favor for the lender, and it looks like he's doing it because of the loan. So it's like paying him back more, because you're not charging him for something you would usually charge for. So it looks like interest, and therefore it's forbidden with Rabbon, similarly, the borrower cannot rent something from the lender for less than the normal price, because by paying him less, it's like the borrower paying him more. Mnish ribbis, because it's considered ribbis mejabonon. Says the Mishnah, marbin al hasochar, one is allowed to increase the rent of something if it's a rent, but you can't increase the price if it's a sale. And what does this mean? So the Mishnah explains, Ketzad, how so? Hiskir lo yeschat seiroi. If, let's say, Ruvain rents Shimon his courtyard, and he says to Shimon, if you pay me now up front for the entire rent, then I'll give it to you for 10 sela for the entire year. All 12 months, 10 sela. However, if you don't pay it all now, but you want to pay per month, in that case, you can do that, but you've got to pay me a sela for each month, which means that in a year, that'll be 12 sela. Instead of 10 sela, it'll be 12 sela. So on the one hand, this does seem a bit like interest, because he is paying you later, he has to pay you more. Seems a bit like interest. However, it's allowed. The reason why it's allowed is because when one rents something, the normal thing is to pay for it at the end of the rental. Or even if you're not going to pay for it at the end of the rental, it's considered that you are renting it the whole time until the end. Which means that if you are renting it per month, then the end of the month is when you pay for it, and that's what he did. He's not delaying the payment and therefore having to pay more. The normal thing is to pay at the end of either the month or the year, and so he's not delaying it. Which means the normal case is to pay, let's say, a sela each month, which will be 12 sela a year. The person who's paying up front the whole price for the entire year, that's not normal. That's going the extra mile, being nice and paying up front. So for that, the renter is nice and says, you know what, I'll give it to you for cheaper. Because he's giving it at the beginning, but really it's the normal thing to give it at the end. If the normal thing was to pay, let's say, 100 zuz, and by him paying later, he has to pay 120 zuz, then fine. But our case is not. Our case is like paying, the normal thing is to pay 120. The guy who's paying at the beginning, you know, we're nice to him, or the renter is nice to him, and he allows him to pay less. But we're not making the delayer pay more, rather we're making the person who pays at the beginning pay less, and therefore it's not considered interest. On the other hand, if he sells someone the field, in that case, when does the sale take place? Right now, at the beginning, not later on. And Ruvain, who is selling the field to Shimon, he says to Shimon, if you pay me now, then I'll charge 1,000 zuz. But if you only pay me at the time of the threshing floor, when they thresh the produce, which is when he would typically get money, he's basically saying, when you can afford it, pay me. If you want to pay later, then I'm going to charge you not 1,000 zuz, but 1,200 zuz. In that case, also it's forbidden, because the normal thing is to pay at the beginning, because that is when the sale takes place. When you're renting something, you're renting it up until the end of the rental. When you buy something, you buy it once at the beginning. So if you delay the payment, that's not the normal thing, which means that if the seller makes the buyer pay more because he is delaying the payment, that is ribbis, that is interest, and therefore it's forbidden.